I was thinking that this mood that you were describing, this calling out, needing mercy, is very much relevant to this part of the Bhagavatam that we're reading, because it's so closely nearing the time when Maharaj Bricket is going to leave this world. So he's hearing some philosophy now that he's not his body, that he's an eternal soul, but at the time of leaving this world, what will he hold on to? So what will he hold on to? What will fill his consciousness? You can't fill your consciousness with "I'm not my body," because it's negative. One can't hold on to something negative. But Srila Sukadeva Goswami is speaking these points, so for us, of course, but so that at the last moment he won't hold on to anything connected to the body. Because that tendency is so strong. The identification with the soul through the mind, through the material attachments, with the body, with everything connected to the body, is so strong. So these strong words spoken by Sukadeva are to break that attachment, that tendency, because it is dangerous. It is dangerous all the time, but it is especially dangerous when one is leaving this world, dying. But that doesn't solve the question or answer the question, what will he hold on to? Again, you can't hold on to "I'm not my body, I'm not my body," because it's what you're not. But what will he hold on to? That will be revealed. Now, being in a somewhat radical mood, what I would like to do is read a few verses, not just one, and then we'll hear the answer to that question. So Srila Sukadeva is speaking, and he's given some examples yesterday. He was saying that you can know that point. He was giving points or examples that show that we're not the body. And then in today's verse, I'll turn it up when the fire is there. Another example: when a pot is broken, the portion of sky within the pot remains as the element sky, just as before. In the same way, when the gross and subtle body die, the living entity within resumes its spiritual identity. It doesn't cease to exist. Text 6. The material bodies, qualities, and activities of the spirit soul are created by the material mind. That mind is itself created by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, and thus the soul assumes material existence based on the mind, the mind's attachments, and therefore, as Kapila Muni describes in the third canto, Bhakti Yoga dissolves the subtle body, the mind. He continues, still on this point, you are not the body. You will exist, you will have a life after the destruction of the body, the inevitable destruction of the body. Where will you go? That depends upon what you hold on to. Sadatan Bhava Bharata. A lamp functions as such only by the combination of its fuel, the vessel, the wick, and the fire. Four elements. Similarly, material life, based on the soul's identification with the body, is developed and destroyed by the workings of material goodness, passion, and ignorance, which are the constituent elements of the body, but not the soul. The soul within the body is self-luminous. It has its own light. It doesn't depend on these other elements. And it is separate from the visible body and the invisible, subtle body. We are not our... This is not me, nor all the crazy thoughts that go through my mind continuously. They are not me either. It remains, the soul remains as the fixed basis of changing bodily existence. Just as the ethereal sky is the unchanging background of material transformation. Therefore, the soul is endless and without any material comparison. My dear King, by constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, and by applying clear and logical intelligence, you should carefully consider your true self and how it is situated within the material body. The snake bird, Takshaka, sent by the curse of the Brahmana, will not burn your true self. The agents of death will never burn such a master of the self as you. For you have already conquered all dangers on your path back to Godhead. You should consider, I am none different from the Absolute Truth, Supreme Abode. And that Absolute Truth, this is text 12, that Absolute Truth, the Supreme Destination, is none different from me. This is where I belong. This is where you belong, he's saying. Because of your spiritual nature, you're incompatible with this material world. You're compatible with the spiritual, eternal realm. Thus, resigning yourself to the Supreme Soul, giving yourself Saranagati, Mamekam Saranam Vaja, resigning yourself to the Supreme Soul, who is free from all material misidentification, untinged by Maya, you will not even notice the snake bird Takshaka when he approaches you with his poison-filled fangs and bites your foot. Nor will you see your dying body or the material world around you, because you will have realized yourself to be separate from them. Then he says, and this is the final verse in this chapter, beloved King Purjit, I have narrated you to you the topics you originally inquired about, the pastimes of Lord Hari in the first canto, 18th, 19th chapter. Maharaj Purjit said, please pour within my ear the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Hari. And the whole Bhagavatam is spoken in this regard. And then he says, I have narrated to you the topics which you originally inquired about, the pastimes of Lord Hari, the Supreme Soul of the universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? So the teacher, after having spoken in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, and now the 12th canto, all the necessary topics about Krishna, and filled his ear. Yad yad diyatai urudaya bhavayanti tamtam praneshya saranugraya. The way to the heart is through the ear, by hearing. So he's filled his heart with Krishna katha, Hari katha. And he was the perfect receptacle for that katha, because this was his desire. I want to hear about Krishna so much. Everything is based on desire. There's a short purport here. There were no purports to the other verses. In this commentary on this text, the one where he's saying, I've spoken about Hari. Now, what more do you want to hear about? The teacher is asking, is there anything else Is there anything else? Would you like to hear something else? In his commentary on this text, Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately demonstrated by citing many Bhagavatam verses the exalted devotional position of King Parikshit, who is fully determined to fix his mind upon Lord Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. Because this is required. If we are half determined, if we are bahushaka tonantascha, this is generally the problem. We have divided minds. Yes, I want to be with Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. I want to go to Golok. But not only that, I also want this and this and this and this and this. But at the end of our life, the crucial question is, what do we want? Because what we do want is where we're going to go. So Maharaj Parikshit only wanted one thing. He had no divided mind. He was fixed. Vya vya satmika buddhi. And his fixedness was on the lotus feet of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna. He was determined. I don't want anything else. I don't want it. I was the king. I had full access to everything. Power, wealth, everything was at my disposal. I don't want anything of this world. Fixed and determined. I only want, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. He wanted to go to Krishna. Now we begin the sixth chapter. So the question that ended the fifth chapter is, would you like to hear anything else? He had completed, but would you like to hear something else? So in the first verse, Sutta Goswami said, after hearing all that was narrated to him by the self-realized and equipoised Sukadeva, the son of Vyasadeva, Maharaj Parikshit humbly approached his lotus feet, bowing his head upon the sage's feet, the king, who had lived his entire life under the protection of Lord Vishnu, folded his hands in supplication and spoke to his father. How do you speak to someone who has given you everything and given you the ticket and the visa to go to serve Krishna forever? What do you say? There's a short purport to this verse. According to Srila Vishnathakavad Gita Kaur, some of the sages present while Sukadeva was instructing King Parikshit were impersonalists, philosophers. Thus the word Samena indicates that in the previous chapter, Sukadeva Goswami had spoken the philosophy of self-realization in a way pleasing to such intellectual yogis, those on the path of Jnanamog. So they were very happy to hear, you're not your body, you're not your body, you're not your body. But what did what did Maharaj Parikshit hear? They were happy because that's what they wanted. Because their interest was liberation. But the same words were spoken. What was Sukadeva's conclusion? Maharaj Parikshit's conclusion after hearing that as well. So he folded his hands in supplication. What does supplication mean?
Begging.
What did humble. Very humble and submissiveness. Folded his hands and began to speak. Maharaj Parikshit said, I have now achieved the purpose of my life. Because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. What was the kindness? Filling his consciousness with Harikatha, which enlarged and invigorated his already burning desire to be with Krishna from the very birth. As described early in the first canto, from his very birth he was Vishnu, he was protected by the Lord, and his name is Parikshit,
Pariksit. What does Pariksit mean? What is the word in Hindi for examination? Yes. He was examining everyone he met. Is this that person who has come to me? Because he was well and the woman protected me. He was always looking for Krishna. This is the process of advancement. And this is the process of getting Krishna's mercy. The desire is there. This is what I want. And I'm only looking for Him. I'm not looking. Not Jananda Jananda Sundarim Kavitamba Jagadisha Pamani. Not even liberation. I want that person. I want to be with Him. I want to serve Him. I have now achieved the purpose of my life because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is without beginning or end. So what did he hear? Not Vyan, not liberation, not merging. He heard Harikatha. That is what he wanted. No purport. Text 3. I do not consider it at all amazing that great souls such as yourself, whose minds are always absorbed in the infallible personality of Godhead, show mercy to the foolish conditioned souls, tormented as we are by the problems of material life. I have heard from you, text 4, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of all the Puranas and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord Uttama Shloka. That is what he had heard. Perfectly described the Supreme Lord who is praised by glorious verses. He had heard about Krishna and so many avatars. How Krishna kindly comes to this world. He's heard about the creation by Krishna's parts and pulses. He had heard about Krishna being born in Mathura, being transferred across the Jamuna to Gokul Mahavan. He had heard of Krishna's pastimes with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. He had heard about Krishna's going out and tending the cows and calves, or the calves and the cows, and killing so many demons. He had heard about Krishna's killing Putana and Trinavarta and Shakatashura and Bakasura, Vatsasura, Agasura. He had heard how Brahma had come and stolen the calves, and then and the boys, and then Brahma had come to pray to him. He had heard about Dhanukasura and Balaram's activities and Palambasura and forest fires, and he had heard about Krishna dancing with the gopis in the middle of the night. He had heard about the gopis' feelings of separation, of Krishna's coming to Kamsa, Krishna's going marrying 16,000. He had heard everything. And he had heard Krishna's explanation in the 11th canto that all paths, they all culminate with devotional, loving service to Krishna. And how the Bhagavatam was filled with these narrations. And his consciousness, hearing the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva, who had heard it and realized it from his father Vyasadeva, had filled his consciousness, and he had heard these perfect descriptions of Lord Uttama Shloka. And he says in the 5th verse, my Lord, I now have no fear of Takshaka or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. His consciousness was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
consciousness of Krishna, consciousness of his relationship with Krishna, and immediately no fear. No misidentification with the cause of fear or the cause of anxiety, but full identification with himself as being Krishna's. I am Krishna. Eternally. Now, question, he hasn't answered the question yet. The question that Sukadeva had asked was, do you want to hear any more? Do you need more medicine? Or are you ready now? And his answer there was, I'm ready to go. Oh Brahma, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses into Lord Bhuktaja. Allow me to absorb my mind, purified of all lusty desires within him, and to thus give up my life. Sukadeva Goswami had asked King Parikit, what more do you wish to hear? Now the king replies that he has perfectly understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and that he's ready, without further discussion, to go back home, back to Godhead. To withdraw his consciousness fully from the realm of matter and to focus it fully, purified of all lusty desires, all desires, not of all desires, but all desires related with him in the center. All petty selfishness, all calm of any level, based on me, but desiring so strongly to fix his consciousness in the service of Krishna. That he's ready, without further discussion, to go back home, back to God. And the last thing that he says is, you have revealed to me that which is most auspicious. Please note that when Prabhupada was coming to the West, he wasn't feeling comfortable until he had three volumes of the most auspiciousness to give us. Take this. He wanted to distribute this message, this Hari Katha, this instruction that made Maharaj Parikit fearless and ready to go home and filled with unlimited desire to serve Krishna, and that had eradicated all desire on the material level. And it was the Bhagavatam. That's what Prabhupada was carrying. And therefore he stressed book writing, book production, book distribution, and one other thing. And what is the other thing?
Reading.
Reading it also. In Melbourne one time, I'm not sure if it was here or in the previous temple, I heard him, I think it was in his house, he said, my only criticism of the devotees is they think that the books are for distribution, not for reading. And then he even imitated a devotee distributing a book and saying, please take this book. And they imitated the person's response. What's in it? And then he imitated the devotee. I don't know, it's for you. Say it in that way. But the point is clear. And then he said, why are we so interested in book distribution? Because it is distribution of knowledge. Krishna Soryasam Maya Haya Andhakar. And this material world means darkness. Andhakar. And this is the light. And in the light we can see things accurately as they are. And in darkness, We can't see anything, practically speaking. We mistake everything for something else. So the Bhagavatam gives us the perspective on life. True, accurate perspective. So take it. Take it. Raise your hand if you have a set of Bhagavatams in your home. Oh, so wonderful. How wonderful. Prabhupada must be so pleased with you all. Must be. At one point, even, and I've read this in Koma Prabhu's book about Prabhupada in Australia, because there were so many devotees coming and joining, and then after a short time they would go away again. You know, they joined for a while and didn't fulfill whatever they were imagining was going to happen, or it was too hard or whatever, and they left. And Prabhupada, after a while, he said, as I read, that let them stay at home and read Prabhupada's book, read the books, study them, and actually understand things deeply, and then come and join it, then be fixed. Because without the knowledge, without knowledge, there won't be fixedness. I'm here for a purpose. And it may be hard, it may be easy. Well, that's life. But I'm here for a purpose. And I'm convinced, I have conviction. And I don't want anything else. I don't want to touch and play with, be allured by the world of illusion. So therefore, fix. So the last thing he says, you have revealed to me. This is, we heard Sukadeva Goswami's last words, and now we'll hear Maharaj Prickett's last words. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious. It is most auspicious. That means it brings us the greatest benefit. What is the greatest benefit? We should ask ourselves this question. What do I think is the greatest benefit? What will benefit me the most? Well, Srila Prabhupada was very clear about that, as was Sukadeva Goswami, and as was Maharaj Prickett, and as the Guru Paramparas, and as so many devotees are since time immemorial and even to this present, that the purpose of life is to develop one's love for Krishna. Prema, Pumato, Mahana. Develop our relationship with Krishna. So he says, I am now fixed in knowledge. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, most beneficial. The supreme personal feature of the Lord, that have a personal relationship with Krishna. Bhagavata darshitam has been shown. It is chaimam, all auspicious. Param Bhagavata Padam, the Supreme Personality of God. You have revealed to me Krishna. You have revealed to me the very purpose of an eternal soul's existence. And I have taken it. And I have understood. And I'm ready to go. I am now fixed in knowledge. Self-realization. And my ignorance has been eradicated. So, would you please say something on this? You can read from the temple.
So Parikshit Maharaj, having concluded what he had to say. Now Sutta Goswami is resuming his narration to the sages of Nagasharanya. You will recall that the original conversation was between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, but Sutta Goswami had been present there in that assembly, and he had heard very carefully everything and repeated verbatim the entire conversation that took place. 7 days of katha, and he could remember everything. Generally, when we are sitting in a class, even before the next sentence has been spoken, we forget the previous one. And it's hard to remember. And this is just the beginning of Kali Yuga. So we can imagine what will happen as time goes on, but Sutta Goswami could remember everything. So now he continues. Now that Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj have both concluded what they had to say, so Sutta Goswami said, thus requested, the saintly son of Srila Vyasadeva gave his permission to King Parikshit. Then after being worshipped by the king and all the sages present, Shukadeva departed from that place. Just like that. His work was finished. He had delivered Maharaj Parikshit. The job was done. He had other things to do. He went on. He was completely detached from everything. He was confident now that Maharaj Parikshit could fly his own airplane. To use an analogy one time that Prabhupada had given. Now he was fixed in the consciousness, in his Krishna consciousness at Krishna's lotus feet. And Shukadeva Goswami departed because the time was near. Parikshit Maharaj's departure was very imminent. And then Bhagavatam continues. Maharaj Parikshit then sat down on the bank of the Ganges upon a seat made of darbha grass with the tips of its stalks facing east and turned himself toward the north. Having attained the perfection of yoga, he experienced full self-realization and was free of material attachment and doubt. The saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon the Supreme Absolute Truth. His life air ceased to move and he became as stationary as a tree. So Maharaj Parikshit is now completely fearless, completely fixed. Even his bodily movements externally and internally have ceased, and his consciousness is completely fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Nothing can shake him, nothing can move him now. O learned Brahmanas, the snake bird Takshaka, who had been sent by the angry son of a Brahmana, was going toward the king to kill him when he saw Kashyapa Muni on the path. And it now begins a slight diversion. But from here, up to this point, we can see, we can conclude with Shukadeva Goswami's departure from the scene. The combination of King Parikshit and Shukadeva Maharaj. Perfect questions, perfect answers. Perfect disciple, perfect spiritual master. And when the combination is perfect, you get the perfect solution. Not just the questioner and the inquirer and the speaker, but even those who are listening get tremendous benefit. King Parikshit questions have been very meaningful. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam has now been spoken. Shukadeva Goswami and King Parikshit both were devotees, and therefore the combination was perfect. In the Srimad Bhagavat Mahatmya, it is explained that the disciple and the guru should be of the same mentality. Srila Prabhupada often in his teachings didn't speak kindly about professional Bhagavatam reciters. He mentioned that one should not hear from a person who is materialistically motivated or who has any other conception other than the conception of pure devotional service. And that includes even the Mayavadi speakers, even though they may not have gross material desires. But Prabhupada quoted this verse, Avaishnava mukhod girnam putam harikathamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yathapayah. Even though harikatha or talks about the Lord are putam, very pure, shravanam naiva kartavyam, one should not hear it if avaishnava mukhod girnam, if it emanates from the mouth of a Vaishnava, a non-Vaishnava. And as Mahaprabhu has explained, there are two kinds of non-devotees. One is a sense gratifier and the other is the Mayavadi. So one should not hear from these because sarpa uchishtha yatha payaha. Payaha means milk. So even though milk is naturally very nutritious for the body, but when it is contaminated by the poison of a snake that touches its fangs to it, then that very milk can actually be the cause of death. Similarly, that purifying Harikatha, which is otherwise very uplifting and can take us to the ultimate limits of Krishna consciousness, can actually create harm if it is heard from an unqualified person. So, if an inquirer has materialistic motives behind hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but if the speaker doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and he only wants pure devotional service, then it's an incompatible combination. Unless the listener also has some kind of desire and humbles himself and then becomes purified of that. But otherwise he would feel very uncomfortable. And the speaker will also feel very uncomfortable because he will not like to have a person who is materialistically inclined, who is coming there to hear Bhagavatam for the sake of material advancement. No doubt, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param, that whether one has no material desires, whether one has all kinds of material desires, whether one seeks liberation, whatever the case may be, one should surrender to Krishna. Yes, even though that is true, but nevertheless, for devotional service, devotees are seeking compatible association so that there may be an increase of taste of Krishna consciousness. So when a speaker sees that people have come for the sake of making advancement in their material life, then he is also not very comfortable. So if the combination is compatible, that both the speaker and the listener are materialistic, then that's fine. Because both will have their material desires fulfilled. The speaker gets his monetary remuneration or whatever it is that he seeks, and the prestige and name and fame. And also the listener gets his material desires fulfilled. Of course, that's not a really good thing to have this kind of combination. But the point that is being made is that it's a compatible situation. When one or the other are not compatible with the other, then it's not a good combination. But King Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami are the example of the perfect compatible combination that is desirable. King Parikshit came there without any material motives. What did he have? What was the use of having material motives anyway? He was just a few hours, a few days away from death when he approached. Shukadeva Goswami.
He had come there with a sincere desire to want to know, whom should I worship? Whom should I remember? What should I do? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? Such an important question. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam has been based on this one fundamental question. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? And based on that, Shukadeva Goswami spoke so many things, and then there were further questions and further answers. And now we have reached the point of the climax. The climax is Parikshit Maharaj is now ready to face death. I think it is Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I don't remember clearly, but in their commentaries in the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, they mention that even when Parikshit Maharaj came, he had a desire to be free from fear of death. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami immediately spoke that verse to him, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavyah Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchatabhayam. If you want to be Ichchatabhayam, if you seek fearlessness, then you must hear about, chant about, remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami has been completely successful in his task. And Parikshit Maharaj has also completely achieved his objective. He has become completely fearless. And now he has nothing more to seek. He is now ready, knowing that his time has run out. He is perfectly at peace with himself. And now he is just withdrawing himself from the external world and going within himself in deep remembrance of Krishna. Nothing else matters now. Whatever may be the situation in the external world, Parikshit Maharaj now has nothing to do with it, because he has realized his eternal constitutional spiritual position. One is concerned with the external world only to the extent that one identifies with it. But when one's identification with the external world ceases, then everything becomes completely peaceful. And now Parikshit Maharaj is not concerned whether Takshak will come or not come, how will he bite. Generally, when we are told, people go to astrologers and they say, well, you have such and such a problem coming up at this time, then you tend to meditate on that more. Perhaps it was better you didn't know. And you would just be chanting Hare Krishna, and in any case you would face whatever came in your life in a Krishna conscious mood. And Shukadeva Goswami has already said in a few verses ago that when Takshaka comes to bite you, you will not even notice it. Because now he's completely beyond the material platform, the bodily platform. And in this state of mind, it doesn't matter to him how his death will come. There is no sensation, there is no concern. And we will be hearing later on about how finally the snake bird Takshak comes. Incidentally, it just happens that in Sydney I was speaking about Krishna Katha from the Mahabharata, and there was this episode where Krishna and Arjuna are near Indraprastha, but outside the Khandava forest, and Agnidev, the fire god, comes with a request that he wants to devour this Khandava forest because it has some medicinal herbs in it. And he has a malady, Agnidev has a malady, which came out of taking too much ghee, which was offered in sacrifice by a king. He overdid it. And so he had some problems, health problems. So Agnidev was told by Brahma that you go to the Khandava forest, and there are many suitable medicinal herbs there. And once you do that, then your malady will be cured.
And every time Agnidev tried to burn the forest and devour it, Indra would come and pour rain and extinguish the flames. And thus Agnidev was frustrated in his attempts. Now this is what Agnidev personally told Krishna and Arjuna when he approached them. Can you please help me? And relieve me from this problem. But you protect me so that when I want to devour my food, Indra should not obstruct me. So Arjuna and Krishna were curious. They said, why do you want to devour this forest? He explained the medicinal issue. And why does Indra want to stop you? He said, because Indra's friend, Takshaka, is in this forest. And Indra wants to protect him. Therefore, he doesn't want this forest to get burned. And then Arjuna tells Agnidev, all right, I will do what you like, but I need the appropriate weapons. And so then Agnidev says, all right. He meditates on Varunadev, and Varunadev comes. And he comes with two quivers, inexhaustible quivers of arrows. And he gives it to him. He also comes with a grand Gandiva bow that Arjuna carries. And he also brings a few other weapons. He brings a chariot which has horses as white as milk and which can move at the speed of the mind. And he has a flag that has Hanuman on it. And to Krishna also, he presents his famous Kaumodaki club, which when it is whirled around makes a roaring sound. And then Krishna says, Arjuna, I will become your chariot driver. Now this is much before the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, before the battle. So Krishna was even before the battle functioning as his chariot driver. So he got out of the chariot, and Arjuna said to Agnidev, now you please go ahead with your job, and I will go round and round the forest, and I will make sure that Indradev cannot do anything. And another thing Agnidev said to Krishna and Arjuna was that in this forest, Brahma told me personally, there are only sinful living entities who deserve to die. So please don't think that if I burn down this forest, then I will be committing some sinful activity and you will be implicated in that. No. They all deserve to die, and hear this from the most authoritative source, Brahma. So then Arjuna and Krishna were pacified. Alright. So then they started moving around the forest. And it's explained that they moved around so fast that you couldn't make out which... You felt that they were in all places at a given time. And then every time someone, living entity, tried to escape from the forest, Arjuna would shoot and kill the living entity. And in front of their very eyes, that living entity assumed a spiritual form and went back to garden because it died right in front of Krishna. And then, Takshaka, as it so happened, wasn't there. He was out visiting some relatives, maybe. And maybe he was preparing for his future mission. So he was away, but only his wife and son were there. And as his wife and son tried to escape, then Arjuna shot the arrow and his wife was killed, but the son managed to escape, because at that time Indra got wise and he released some weapon that made Arjuna swoon. And in that time Takshak's son escaped from the scene. But Takshak was not there anyway, so he was not harmed. And then finally, the demigods came there. There was a battle, and Brahma came again to resolve the situation. He said, look Indra, anyway your friend is not here now. So let it be. And Arjuna and Krishna, they are none other than Nara and Narayan rishis. So anyway, the whole Khandava burning forest pastime concludes, and then Maya Dana, who has also been saved by the magnanimity of Arjuna, comes up and says, what can I do for you? Arjuna doesn't want anything. He sends him to Krishna. And Krishna asks him to build a splendid celestial assembly hall for the Pandavas, which he does. So I just remember this pastime because now Takshak has arrived here on the scene. And so I just remembered that pastime. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think there's a few more minutes.
We can add a few concluding words. We can
say.
Yes, so King Parikshit is teaching us by his example of what a perfect death is and what a perfect life is. The success of our life is determined in accordance with whether we are able to remember Krishna at the time of death. As the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Svadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapunsan Ante Narayana Smriti. Janma Labha Parapunsan, one's birth has become successful, and one's performance or execution of one's responsibilities and duties in life, and indeed everything, becomes successful when one can remember Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna at the end. Ante Narayana Smriti. So our entire program of life has to be designed in order to achieve this ultimate goal. So Shukadev Maharaj is preparing himself for a glorious departure. We have to follow in his footsteps and also prepare ourselves to depart in a glorious way like him. Glorious in the sense of remembering Krishna at the time of departure. It's going to happen to us too. One day, and it could happen sooner rather than later. It could happen any time. So basically, King Parikshit's question about what is the duty of a man who is about to die pertains to every one of us, because we could die any time. So we don't know when our death will come. Not to sound very like a doomsday prophet or something like that, or to sound very pessimistic. But that's the reality of the matter. In school, I remember we would have a new phenomenon which we didn't like really. It was called surprise tests. And that really kept us on our toes. When the teacher introduced this idea, we protested like anything. But then the teacher was firm. So a surprise test means that you could be given a test any time. Otherwise, there were fixed times when you had a test. And then you could prepare yourself accordingly. Usually in the last minute. But for a surprise test, you had to be alert and attentive throughout, because you never knew when the teacher would come, and this became a constant subject of discussion among the students. Is it going to be today? Is it going to be tomorrow? And then finally, we all got used to it anyway. So whenever it came, we became fearless. So, in the same way, death is like the final examination of our life. So it's going to be there for sure, but we don't know when. And age has nothing to do with it. It could happen even at a very young age, or at a ripe old age. So we have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves by following in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj. It's an inspirational example. And if anyone were to say, well, you know, he was a saint, he was a sannyasi, living in an ashram, but King Parikshit was a saint, but he was not living in an ashram. He was a king. He had been absorbed in all kinds of duties of administration, of ruling a kingdom, an empire. He was the king of the whole planet. And he had to go around establishing law and order. He used to punish people who erred and strayed from the path of dharma. He chastised Kali. So he was absorbed in all kinds of duties that pertain to this world. So it's inspirational for us because here is a person, although he's living in the world, he's not of this world. So even though we may have also many, many duties to perform, many responsibilities, following the footsteps of King Parikshit, we can also practice hearing and chanting about Krishna. Everything depends on hearing actually. If there is hearing, there will be remembering and there will be chanting. Because whatever we hear, we remember. And you will be able to chant only whatever you have heard so far. So hearing is very important because it is a basis, it is a foundation that will prepare us for that eventual stage when we can remember Krishna. The point of death can be, according to the scriptures, very painful. I think the Garuda Purana or some Purana that explains that the pain at death is excruciating for a normal person. It can be equivalent to the bites of many thousands of scorpions. We get troubled even when there is one mosquito that bites us and is disturbing. And what then to speak of so many thousands of scorpions and all at one time? What then is the possibility of an ordinary person remembering Krishna if he or she has not practiced remembering Krishna throughout life? There was this verse from Mukunda Mala Stotra which Srila Prabhupada used to quote very often. Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja panjarantam adyaiva me vishitumanasa rajahansaha prana prayana samaye kapavada pittai kanthavarodhana vipavu smaranam kutaste. King Kulashekhar is praying to Krishna that, O Krishna, let my mind, which is like a swan, be absorbed in your lotus feet, which are like lotus stems. The metaphor being that a swan likes to entangle itself in the network of lotuses and their stems. So similarly, let my mind be so entangled, or rather so absorbed and fixed at your lotus feet. And let me depart now when everything is fine. When my mind is sound, when my body is in good health, let me depart now. Because prana prayana samaye, at the time of leaving, at the life phase leaving the body, kapha vata pittaihi, the mucus bile air, kantha avarodhana, they all gather in the throat. Smaranam kutaste. So how is it possible to remember you at that time? Very difficult. So let me leave this body right now, when I am able to remember you nicely. So similarly, if we don't practice remembering Krishna by the process of hearing and other forms of devotional service, then it will be very hard for us to remember Krishna at the time of death and to leave our bodies in the exemplary manner that King Parikshit Maharaj is about to do. Hare Krishna.
We'll end with in the same way we began. Gauranga tumi mora doya natsadiya. O Lord Gauranga. Please repeat after me. O Lord Gauranga.
O Lord Gauranga.
Please do not neglect.
Please do not neglect.
To show me your mercy.
To show me your mercy.
Making me your own property.
Making me your own property.
Kindly keep me.
Kindly keep me.
Situated.
Situated.
At the reddish soles of your feet.
At the reddish soles of your feet.
With the intention of attaining your feet.
With the intention of attaining your feet.
I have utterly renounced everything.
I have utterly renounced everything.
Now I have taken full shelter.
Now I have taken full shelter.
Of your soothing lotus feet.
Of your soothing lotus feet.
Whether I am related to this family.
Whether I am related to this family.
that family,
have
completely abandoned them all.
I beg you to mercifully
keep me by your feet.
Keep me by your feet.
Call me your own.
Call me your own.
Vasudev Ghosh says, since I have tightly grasped hold of your feet, please keep me here.
Please keep me here.
By always bestowing their soothing shade.
Their soothing shade.
Please give me your mercy.
Please give me your mercy.
Because I need it. Come on, Grace.
One day. Maybe.